Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
An uncharted island.
Let me list all the ways you're gonna die. Rain, heat, disease-carrying flies, and we haven't started on the things that want to eat you alive.
We'll double that.
Plus a bonus if we make it back.
If?
In this dirty old part of the city.
Welcome to Second Take Podcast's review of Kong Skull Island, starring Tom Hiddleston, Samuel Jackson, Brie Larson, John C. Reilly, and John Goodman.
He's been working so hard.
Get the hell out of here.
Written by Dan Gilroy, Max Borenstein, Derek Connolly, and John Gatton, and directed by Jordan Voight Roberts.
He's God on the island.
We don't belong here.
But the devils live below us. I call them skull crawlers.
Why?
Because it sounds neat.
Okay.
Look, I just made that name up. I'm trying to scare you.
I'm fine calling them that. Are you cool with it?
Yeah, that seems like a good
idea. I like the name.
John C. Reilly stole my quote, and I'm Sebastian.
When three sources tell you the same thing word for word, you know they're lying. I'm Andy Schossler.
That sounds really familiar to me this week.
I can't tell when I'm talking or when I'm not talking.
You're not talking.
And I'm Alex. Oh, okay.
Three sources say the same thing. It just means you're talking to three idiots.
Possibly.
And they don't know about yogurt or about scales and lizards. They don't know anything.
Yeah, but this was all improvised. When they're saying it word for word, you know they must be conspiratorially connected.
Mm.
Welcome. Yeah, you idiot.
Welcome to our review of Kong Skull Island, the marveliest Godzilla King Kong movie you've ever seen.
Yep.
Right?
With a trailer that is just sound effects.
Is that a
and
take?
It goes on forever.
There was music. I hope we got a whole song thrown into there.
Actually, in saying that, the soundtrack for this film is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Best part about it.
The whole movie's fun. Mm.
Did you guys see this at the cinemas at all?
No.
I literally saw it for the first time last night.
Interesting. Mm. I watched it for the first time, stupidly, after we had made our schedule about 4 months ago on Netflix.
Right.
Because I was just in the mood and I was like, fuck it, let's give it a shot. It was really enjoyable.
It was on Netflix.
Yeah, it was. Not at the time of us recording, unfortunately. Yeah, that was a fun journey. But it was on Netflix when I first saw it. So that was a shocking surprise I had when I went to go watch it the night before recording. I was like, oh no, oh no. I thought you were still there.
I remembered this differently.
Yes. Are you on Stan? You are also not on Stan. Excellent.
Good. It's nowhere. It's nowhere.
Oh, well, it's in the heart of every child. Yeah. So I've only seen this for the first time this year, but this is the second time now this year I've watched it. So
I've seen it once.
Excellent. So we all came in fresh.
Yeah.
What about King Kong in general, though?
haven't seen any King Kong films.
Even the Peter Jackson one.
Especially the Peter Jackson one.
I would recommend not seeing it. If from our review of Godzilla a couple weeks ago.
Yep. I didn't see it because I don't like monster films. Don't care for them. I don't think they're interesting.
Did you like Jurassic Park?
That's not a monster film. But yeah, I did.
Because King Kong, the Peter Jackson film, is closer to Jurassic Park in feel than a Godzilla movie.
Okay, sure.
Because it's a bunch of people going around Skull Island and exploring it, and there's all the different monsters like in this movie, like all the big animals like in this movie. It's like and then Kong is just like the king of that island, yeah.
Kong always felt like one of those old sideshow freak shows where you go along to see the grotesque things, whatever they are, and that's just unappealing to me in the first place.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Alex? You seen any other King Kong movies?
Yeah, I saw the Peter Jackson one.
With Jack Black and everyone?
Unfortunately.
It's unfortunate with how that movie came out because I actually don't mind it. It's pretty well made, like effects-wise, story-wise, it's fine as well. It has the Peter Jackson problem of being like 3 hours long, and unlike Lord of the Rings, where it is this grand epic tale, it just did not need to be anywhere near that length.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If that movie was cut down to 2 hours, much more palatable. The character, all the actors are great, and it's all the like everything else is fantastic. It just goes on and on and on, like this segment I'm doing right now.
Well, shall we move on to trivia?
In theory, we can.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big black bat?
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my butthole.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Every week, our ears are assaulted.
Every now and then, I lower the volume as that happens, and then sometimes I just raise it, and I actually went up and down 3 times just then, so it's like it oscillates a little bit.
Maybe you should just think about cutting it out.
But it's Wednesday, my dudes. Anyone going to... I don't have the pitch for it.
Okay. No.
I can just press play again.
I'm not going to do it.
So, budget of $185 million. Are you on the ball?
Yeah.
Excellent.
It made $61 million in its opening weekend.
Fantastic news.
And about $566 billion.
Five and a half tenths of a billion.
Well, it's about 500,000.
No, 566 million gross.
Yeah, very successful film.
And not as gross as I thought, though. Sorry.
You just.
Or am I?
And I'm going to make a lot of parallels to when we review this film, like Into the Good, like how much this film leans into the Marvel/Disney model of filmmaking at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'd feel like I wasn't doing my job if I pointed out the fact that it has so many actors from the Marvel universe lead roles in it. Oh, we've got Sam Jackson.
Tom Hiddleston.
John Goodman.
John Goodman's not in Marvel. Brie Larson is. Yeah.
Isn't John Goodman Thanos?
No, Josh Brolin, your father, Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Well,
close. Do you guys know Josh Brolin has scales?
Loves Icelandic yogurt.
The original script had it set in 1917. Like every other monster film, it's set in, just coming out of the Victorian era.
Mm-hmm.
But director Jordan Roberts suggested the Vietnam era because no monster film had ever been done there before.
Fair.
And well chosen because the music is appropriate and the soundtrack is, again, fantastic.
Freaking awesome.
So much fun.
And when you're thinking of tying it into the Godzilla franchise, which was set in the latest film anyway, was like 2010, 2014, whatever it was.
It was set in the modern time, yeah.
Putting it in the 1917s or whatever the frick you said is a terrible idea. You got bloody King Kong with a walking frame coming after Godzilla. But get off my lawn, you filthy ape. Wrong one.
but in these films, the monsters are always referred to as being, if not incredibly old, as basically eternal. Like they've always been with the earth. They don't die unless they're killed, essentially. So they've essentially been alive forever.
Yeah.
And it, to be fair as well, as attached as I would be to King Kong, which is nowhere near how attached I am to Godzilla, if in the Godzilla King Kong movie it was King Kong's son, like I'm not going to know or care. You know what I mean?
King Kong.
Yeah, King Kong.
John C. Reilly did a lot of ad-libbing on the film.
John C. Reilly, also from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, he is too. Yeah. And he's a lot of fun.
Yes.
He did a lot of ad-libbing on the... Are you familiar with this, with this bit?
Yep.
He ad-libbed the line specifically, "It sounds like a bird, but it's an ant." He did that as a series of crazy-sounding things to try and break the actors, you know, make them laugh or whatever. Jordan Roberts loved that so much. He felt it was so in keeping with the island's weird ecology that the only reason he didn't include giant ants in the film was out of budgetary constraints. Yeah. Otherwise, they would have been in there. He kept the line from C. Reilly, unscripted, and he was going to wanted to have giant ants in the film.
Yeah, good. I like it when there's a bit of two-way collaboration there, though.
Like
that's great. Let's throw something in. You know,
that's art. Yeah, that's how it's created.
Yeah.
Do you know which kaiju was intended but deleted?
Okay, so is it obviously an established one, or is it just like you mean like it's a big lion? Or
I
is there
don't
a character?
Know enough about the series to know what's established.
Liam Neeson.
Have a guess. What animal and combination of another animal together would you say is wild enough to be included in the film, but cut out for
there's
whatever
There's T-Rexes reason. In the original and in the Peter Jackson, and I can't... But the T-Rexes in this, they had the skull crawls instead, didn't they?
Yeah, they're sort of dinosaur-y.
Yeah, because that was what was missing from the classic version of this. No, but that's not really...
Think of something weird, you know? Chicken with combat boots.
Oh, dragons.
Just dragons?
Just dragons. That's a lizard with wings.
Dragons with a monocle, yeah.
Yeah.
I will eat you.
What was
but
missing?
First I will cook you with my monocle. What about like a lion with the head of an eagle?
Okay.
Nice.
Is it an animal that I would like to see or not like to see, knowing me personally?
It's kind of boring, actually.
It's a bear horse. That's the combination of the two animals I fear the most.
Is it a bear head or a horse head on a bear? Both are equally terrifying.
I would rather fight a bear body with a horse head if I got into a fight. I know like I'm giving it its strong limbs there.
A bear body with a horse head?
It looks like it would be funny.
Not only does it have its claws, it can come after you with those teeth.
And it's horrible death, Winnie. As opposed to a horse body.
And its gorgeous mane that it can just flock in the air and instantly, what's the word?
Okay.
Shadow you with charisma and just...
As opposed to a bear's head on a horse's body. Bears are already quite fast, but horses are faster. Imagine getting a bear's jaws to you as fast as possible. That's also terrifying.
Both terrifying. A bear horse.
Well, that's my theory why I won't be sleeping tonight.
Both of those are better than the giant tiger with antlers that they thankfully deleted from the film.
tiger with antlers.
Because they've already got a moose in there, some sort of giant moose or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. Didn't see its knuckle though, thankfully.
A tiger with antlers. Why on earth would you have put antlers on a tiger?
Oh, just because.
That's just silly.
Yeah.
Give it wings or something interesting.
Yeah, I like when they're gross.
Give it tap shoes for all I care. That's more interesting than antlers.
They did this more in the Peter Jackson one, but when they lean into like big insects and they get into some like the really like sluggish monster, like the slug monsters and stuff, I don't like them, but they're good horror for me.
Give them a Jeep.
Yeah, give them a Jeep. Give everyone a Jeep so they can get away from the bear horse. Any more trivia, or would you like to move into Bear Biz?
I do have more trivia.
Well, I guess I won't press the button.
It's part of the Monsterverse.
Yes. I was going to talk about this on Godzilla, but I didn't.
Monarch.
Yeah, so Monarch, the company.
Monarch is in both films, yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys, we'll talk about it, I guess, but I mean, I doubt it. Any of you guys watch After the Credits?
No.
Yeah.
You did?
Yep.
After the Credits, very simple. I'll put it here just so we can get it done with. It's the main cast have been taken back for, the ones that survived, taken back for questioning by Monarch.
Yep.
And Brie Larson and Loki.
Okay.
Yep. And they're shown cave drawings and like evidence that there have been in other cultures sightings of giant monsters.
Okay.
And the big reveal is that one of them has a picture of a three-headed dragon kind of monster, which from the Godzilla lore is King Ghidorah, like Godzilla's biggest enemy.
Okay. So they're establishing the franchise here.
Correct. Right. Yeah. So they just use that one because I guess in a cave drawing sense, it's the easiest one to draw that you know. Because like a big lizard is like, is it Godzilla? Yeah. I don't know. But like King Ghidorah is a Hydra effectively. So it's like, oh, they're King Ghidorah. Not Ghidorah. Well no. Yeah. That's right.
Well done on sowing their own field.
I thought it was Loch Ness.
No. King Ghidorah's like a It's like a hydra, but it doesn't grow back. From memory, well, unless they're going to change it, it doesn't grow its heads back or anything. So it's just like a big snake head dragon sort of thing with the normal, without the wings.
Is it a water dragon?
It's like a fire dragon.
Maybe.
A dragon dragon.
Like a regular boy dragon with three heads and no wings.
So not a dragon.
It's got dragon heads though. And it has fire. I don't know, man. I'm not King Ghidorah's father. And if I was, that's my father's name. You can call me Mr. Ghidorah.
If it was wearing a hat, would it be Fedora Ghidorah?
King Fedora.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
The second Jurassic Park film, which I think is called The Lost World. Is that right?
Sure.
The one with all the velociraptors? Well, I mean, they both have it, but like all... It reminds me of that movie, just the exploration of the island and coming across all the different monsters mixed with Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah.
The rock ones specifically. But I want to just throw in there, and the tone of... I would say the tone of the first Iron Man, specifically when I try to nail how Marvel this film feels to me, I feel like it has that... The vibe that you get from Robert Downey Jr. in that film, just every character gives off that tone for me.
Okay.
They all feel like that. So that's my three-way blended baby.
I was thinking Lost World as well, but I ended up going with Alien for the sort of military aspect of it, mixed with Ocean's 11 because they're compiling this ragtag team, and that's a sort of fun, bubbly, energetic film the whole way through.
No, that's good. Very good. Yeah.
Sure. I had Jurassic Park. Any of them, I don't care. And Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
Yeah, Tropic Thunder is also very good. Yeah.
Very good for the Vietnam setting as well.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to say, you know, King Kong, Peter Jackson's film.
Yeah, no, because it's not.
But it really isn't.
But with the moving from like special monster region to special monster region within that film, that's similar, although they're shot for different purposes. And like here, they kind of slip between horror in some aspects and just like amazement. Whereas in the King Kong, so the Peter Jackson one, it's more body counts. It's just, which is kind of more so like Jurassic Park 2 with like the raptors getting everyone in the fields as well. People are just on screen so you can see them get picked off by these different monsters.
Yeah.
But yeah. Tweets.
Yeah.
And today I'm going to read it to you.
Any sports in it?
Are you kidding? Fencing, fighting, torture, revenge, giants, monsters, chases, escapes, true love, miracles.
That old miracle sport.
I do love that revenge sport. All right, Alex, do you have your plot tweet synopsis?
You ready for this?
No.
A guy convinces another guy to send a bunch of guys and two ladies to a never-before-discovered island where they discover giant creatures living there, and then lots of the guys die, and then the monsters fight, and then the remaining guys and ladies go home.
Nice.
Succinct.
Yeah. This isn't really a tweet, but do you think that John C. Reilly's character could have been played by like Robin Williams if he was alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my tweet.
Could have been. I think he would have been able to mix in Jumanji. Yeah.
There, we found my tweet.
Yeah. Could have been Jumanji. Hashtag.
Could have been Jumanji.
Yeah.
Jumanji 2, Skull Island.
Jumanji 2 is actually a good pull for this movie as well, for tone, once again.
I've not seen it. I've got it queued.
If at first you don't succeed, threaten the Russians getting there first. Hashtag oldest trick in the book.
Yep.
Yeah. That's how you get your budget. Yep. That's how you get your money.
That's fair.
And I don't know. This is like... DC failed. The Dark Universe failed. This is, apart from Marvel, the only real successful cinematic universe I can think of at the moment because all their movies that they've released have made back shit tons of money and they haven't had to cancel anything, right?
Stop with the universe.
I know, but like I'm just
trying
to think.
Stop making universes and just tell interesting stories. If they happen to coincide with each other, so be it. But stop thinking that you're going to establish this 30-film franchise that's going to bring in a shit ton of money. Just tell interesting stories.
I agree. I was just thinking though, because like DC's pretty much stopped doing it. The Dark Universe was meant to be that one with like the Invisible Man and shit with the Mummy, but they flopped and they're out.
But yeah, because it was crap.
Yeah. Like this.
They had entirely the wrong motivation.
I mean, I guess I'd be maybe considering the Fantastic Beasts as an extension to the Harry Potter. It's this and that are the only ones that are still active and going apart from Marvel. Is that right?
Yeah.
And this has to be...
I guess so. But even Harry Potter now has sort of... gone into spin-off world and not really well. With two movies into a 5-movie spin-off, and it's...
And people are really pissed at the second movie. Yeah, it's interesting. But then I just thought it was worth throwing out. Good job to this franchise so far. They're 2 movies in and they haven't... And they're pacing it. After we get this one, they're pushing out for another... Oh, no, it's in 2020. It's Godzilla King Kong next year.
Yeah. Must be.
I said 2020 before, and in my head, it was like, that's fucking 4 years away. It's not. Oh, no.
God, I remember as a kid watching the show Beyond 2000 and just thinking, oh, my God, 2000 is so far away.
Imagine what that's going to be like. Yeah. all right, good or bad first, guys?
I don't have that much bad to say. It deserves to end on a high note if we want to go bad first.
Okay, well, let's start with the bad then.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
I can't believe you've done this.
I have bad, but it's not about this movie. It's a general grievance that I have.
Sure.
So we've been getting You Foods ordered to my house. It's like a meal delivery service. I have nothing bad about this movie to say. I loved it. So we've been getting You Foods. They pre-cook a meal and vacuum seal it and send it to your house. And I've been doing that for the last fortnight. Oh. I got a fortnight's worth of food for lunch and dinner. Great time. This is not a paid ad. It was just good food. I was happy. Whatever. So I did 2 weeks worth of two meals. Yeah. Jess, my wife, ordered herself some. She just ordered 10 meals worth. So half the food that I ordered, spent like a little bit under half the money, obviously. Yeah. Mine came on the Saturday. Her came on the Monday. Yeah. She got a fucking free plate and some cutlery from them for her first time order. Me, my first time order, ordering more than double what she ordered, nothing. That was the bad thing that happened to me in relation to the time frame in which I watched this movie. Movie was good. I want my fucking free plate. And I just got another delivery today and my wife was unpacking it for me, a message. I'm like, did I get a plate this time? And she just sent me back an ellipsis, like dot, dot, dot. I'm like, oh, good. Can't wait for that not plate. So it's still good. Like, I'm not trying to throw this company under the bus, but my feelings are hurt. And that's my review of that one time I got You Foods.
The two times
I got You Foods.
Were you at least thinking about your plate when you were watching this film?
No, but I
can you tie it to the film in any?
In I any did. I was eating dinner during the period, but I have other plates. Like, I wasn't lacking a plate. It's just the principle that I've now spent about $400 to her $60, and she got a free gift.
I see.
Like, that's my disconnect here.
Yeah, $400.
Well, I spent at $260 this week after discount because there's always promo codes. And last fortnight, I spent about $200. So $460 I spent, and she spent $60.
What does that equate to?
It's $10 a meal, roughly. But then there's discounts on top of that, so it comes down to like $8 a meal.
Were they delivered by helicopter? Because I have a problem with the helicopters in this film.
Oh, please do.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's too many of them.
Where do the goddamn helicopters come from?
The sky.
They're on the ship. And you moving to Skull Island.
You can see three helicopters.
There are three and a Chinook. Or maybe four and a Chinook, depending on what angle you're going there.
I apologize. Mm-hmm. What's a Chinook?
The double rotor one carrying all their supplies and ammunition and whatever else.
A Chinook.
And then they take
Don't
off.
Don't look at me like that, Alex.
And then they take off and there are like eight on screen. And then they're flying into the storm and there's like 12 helicopters on screen. Where did the goddamn choppers come from? And it's almost like they're multiplied simply for the reason to have choppers for Kong to bat around once they get to the island.
That's exactly the reason they didn't just land when they got to the edge and walk in as well. They needed to get near Kong.
That's right. We'll start this mission straight away. We won't establish a base or anything. Just launch and drop those seismic charges.
Yep.
We've got a mission to do. Let's just get on with it.
If this film was last week's Godzilla, which decided that it needed to follow a lot of logic and weigh itself down with realism, I would be complaining about this too. But because this film was so heavily focused on fun and because I didn't receive a free plate from You Foods, I was fine with this.
It's completely forgivable. Just where the hell do they come from? The movie doesn't even try and excuse it. It's not like they sent extra ships. There's no platforms opening up under it. They just are extra choppers and that's it.
Yep.
But then there's more extra choppers at the end to pick them up.
Where do they come from? Yeah.
Didn't they ready for help?
No, their radios couldn't penetrate the storm or whatever.
It was an established thing.
Oh, just we'll pick you up in 3 days' time or whatever. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but like they sent all their best pilots in already because they could get through the storm.
Yeah.
So the other three pilots at the end,
they're the bad pilots.
They're the other three good pilots that we didn't send to begin with.
You know what?
Lucky.
What?
When you're in a chopper and you're flying through a storm, right? Mm. Forget about the fact that you're going into unknown territory. They know they're not necessarily going into, you know, be subject to enemy fire.
Yeah.
But they're going through a storm. Close the goddamn doors. Why are the doors open? Yeah. Why are they open Vietnam style during a storm?
I can answer this.
The choppers are rolling around and anybody could... I don't think anybody's wearing a seatbelt.
They're not tethered
to the helicopter in any way.
Simple. You, trust me.
It's cool.
Simple aerodynamics. So when there's a hurricane blowing through your town, what you got to do is open all the doors and windows in your house.
False.
So all the air
can freely
flow through your property and it doesn't form resistance. It allows for air tunnels, safe little air tunnels.
So
what happens is the house doesn't get picked up because all this air that would pick up the house just blows on through. It's just aerodynamics.
Whereas that doesn't work in the logic of a helicopter where you want it to lift.
No.
So you should close the doors in order to get extra lift to go above the storm.
The propeller's doing the lift. You want to avoid the storm from pushing you around. Andrew, it's just science, mate.
Close the goddamn doors and get the number of helicopters right at the start of the mission.
It's just aerodynamics.
But it's fun. It's totally forgivable. It's completely fun.
I have a grievance with when they finally get the boat running.
Oh, yeah.
And the magic gate that just lifts up.
Right. It's pretty cool, though.
What?
Pretty cool how it all lifts up, how it's all tied together. It's a very nice visual.
Looks cool, but...
Yeah. How?
Who was giving them the signal? Like,
and if they don't regularly have boats going out like to do some fishing, why on earth would you have that gate there?
Exactly. Too many questions.
Unless the whole gate is flexible.
Why didn't the people talk?
I don't know.
Why couldn't they smile?
It's just convenient.
Why were they covered in paint?
That's it. But you know what?
Too many questions.
It's fun. And
but was that?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter in the past.
Well, we're only talking about it because we have a bad section. It doesn't really detract from the film at all.
I don't think the section's that bad. I mean, we do it every week. Like, it's kind of good.
But the film is fun. It's so kitschy. And not in a bad way. Like, it's just the right amount of kitschy.
Are you sneaking good into our bad, Andrew?
Let's go to the good. I'm done.
Oh, wait. I have another bad thing. The plate was black, and I think that's pretty cool, and I want one.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Aiden Barr! Top of the world!
How's that for a slice of fried gold?
Yeah, boy!
I know I'm making a joke about it, but I really want a plate and some cutlery. It's really nice and black and it's fun, but it's not microwavable, so it's not as good as they think it is, but I still want one.
I think that segment has reached a plateau.
I hope you can forgive me for going on too long.
Oh, knife one.
Yeah. Okay. We've exhausted all the things that were on the table.
You're doing that two spoon.
So the good things. It's tight. I love everything from the soundtrack to the performances. It was just a fun time, and that's okay.
The detail on Kong, like with all the scratches and the fur and like his expressions.
The CGI was fantastic.
Really well done.
Now, you two both did not care for the... I know we had a lot of problems with Godzilla last time, but when it came to the actual Godzilla fight scene, like at the end of the film, you found by that point you just had no investment and didn't care. Mm-hmm. How did you feel in regards to Kong in this film?
Also didn't care. Looked just as cool, but I was interested in the characters and the rest of the story, so it got a pass.
Literally, when you said that I had to watch this movie, I made a verbal ugh, and that's kind of how I felt going into the film. Mm. And like, yeah, it was fun, and like it looked cool, and the music was good, and it had good actors. But like, it's a monster story, and it just doesn't like. If I had the choice of watching this or watching Lord of the Rings again, I would watch all three extended Lord of the Rings plus all the Hobbits.
Oh, that can know you're real serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have... Like, okay, we're a Godzilla household. We're not a King Kong household. Just like we're a Captain America household, but not a Tony Stark household. We have strict rules in this house. No. So I enjoy these movies by all means, like the Kong movies. They're fine, but... you know, they're not my monster movie. And I'm not saying I prefer, I'm team Godzilla. No, I don't care about that stuff. But just the one that I grew up with, the one that I'm familiar with, the one that if I have two in front of me, that's the one I'm going for, you know? But I enjoyed this.
Team Godzilla.
But not because I prefer Godzilla to Kong. I just have seen more of it. Does that, I don't care about either of them. I'm just more familiar. I'm like with Captain America. I'm definitely firmly in his camp.
The monster fights in Skull Island had meaning because there were stakes. Mm. It wasn't just monsters fighting. There were actual stakes.
And style-wise, right? Very different. It was more street fighty in this film between just Kong's style, how it is like a boxer almost.
Yeah.
How he's getting his ass kicked for half the fight. He's covered in scratches, like Alex said.
Well, even that scene where he's attacked by the squid and you kind of think, whatever, that, you know, should it or shouldn't have not been in the film. The whole point of that scene is to establish that Kong is vulnerable.
Mm.
He can be hurt. He bleeds. He, you know, needs to heal. And he is also being hunted by these creatures. You know,
the skull crawls.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The squid. The squid that was trying to eat him, that he ends up, you know, besting and eating. Like, he dispenses with it kind of easily, but you feel like there's a little bit of danger.
No,
and you know that Kong is vulnerable. There's a point to it. It's not just Godzilla and some Mothman fighting each other for the sake of the fight.
Well, there's actually a point to it,
and it makes sense, and it's good to watch.
We've spoken about Daredevil, the TV series, in the past. How one of the things I love about that, the fights in that series, is he's always, because he is a boxer, he's always taking shots and slowing down because the actual fight means it's physically taxing on him. And I like that from this perspective because we aren't looking at a superhero that, you know, unflinching, unwavering, you can't defeat me, not a Superman figure. Kind of like what we do get with Godzilla. Like, Godzilla goes down for a bit in the fight, but Godzilla goes down like for one bit in the fight and then comes back and wins. Whereas Kong spends half the fight getting his ass kicked for a lot of it. And you don't know whether or not, I mean, we know he's going to be fine, but you don't visually get that cue. You
see the tension that he actually is at risk of losing.
Do you think as an audience, like, this is going to be weird, but are we more inclined to go with Kong just based on the fact that he's closer in resemblance to us as people than Godzilla is?
No. Because you need some hero to rally behind.
Right? Yeah.
And he's the hero because he's sort of beaten back, he's misunderstood, and he comes good in the end.
Mm.
You know, he's not malicious. He's not coming after people. He's responding to the threat that they present.
Yeah. Like, they were saying the charges, so he's like, stop that, here's a tree.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
He's completely a product of his environment. He's not being, it's not contrived, right? You can understand why Kong is acting the way he is. It's not just written for the convenience of the plot.
What I liked was,
he has a character.
He does.
Godzilla does not have a character.
Well, because Kong has a feud in this film with Sam Jackson's character, where they had that one-on-one bit at the end. Yeah. And the simple fact that is possible, whereas even as quickly as he was dealt with in that scene.
No, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's entirely good. You can see that it's a battle of the minds between them, which one of us is going to win.
Well, let's imagine. Can we stop to think about his metabolism? He would eat so much because he's moving that quickly. Like, usually something, you know, bigger, moving that quickly, it just doesn't happen. They move slower, if anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, wow.
The point
Where's
I was...
the food come from? What does he eat?
Giant squids.
Just giant squids.
Well, oh.
Whatever is fueling that perpetual storm around the island, that's where he gets his energy from. Let's say that.
Okay.
But my point was...
And he's got laser beams for eyes.
No. Can you imagine 2014's Godzilla having any scene where there would be a one-on-one moment with a human being like that, like with Sam Jackson in this film?
No, because Godzilla did not have a character.
Yeah,
that's not
like,
the way it
that's
was
what
written.
I mean. Like, yeah. And that's one of the things I really think they did well with this movie because when it came to Kong versus Sam Jackson, I was like, get him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it was so easy to be like, yeah, giant monster. Yeah, dickhead. Get him, giant monster. Like,
But they're well written to the point where you can understand both points of view. You get behind Kong, but you can understand why Sam Jackson is it Packard? Colonel Packard,
yeah.
why he's acting the way he is. You understand it. You disagree with him, but you understand it. Yeah.
Action-wise, really cool stuff. What was this? I can't remember how it went. There was a scene where they're getting their ass kicked and one of the guys is pretty much going to do like a suicide run because he like pulls all the grenades on his vest.
Yeah.
And what did Kong do to him? It was something so funny because it meant nothing happened.
No, it wasn't Kong. It was a skull crawler.
The skull,
and yeah. It whacks him with the tail or something.
And he explodes like somewhere else?
Yeah. He was going to get eaten by the thing. His plan was to get eaten and explode the bombs inside. It knows that he was planning that, so he just thwacks him aside.
Yep.
He ends up flying into a cliff. Obviously, he let go of the grenades and
that's what it was.
He explodes when he hits the wall. That's good, too, to show that the enemy is also capable of intelligent thought. And that establishes a character for the Skullcrawlers, even though we don't spend that much time with him. It's so cleverly done.
Best creature design?
It's a great example of what monster movies should be and so rarely are.
Like there's never, they are just a destructive force for the most part, right? Like that's what you get.
Yeah, whereas this one actually has characters and a story. And it's great. It's really fun to watch.
Design-wise, the spider, I think, was my favorite.
Oh,
the
really?
The one with the bamboo-style legs.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice reveal, yeah.
And those are the kind of bits where like, it's almost, like the movie's pretty light, but that's almost like a horror-esque scene where it's like skewering people down and you don't even realize you're walking amongst it because of the fact that its legs blend in.
And even that makes sense as far as evolution of these animals would be concerned because that's how it would hunt. Mm. It would just pretend to be this bamboo field and thwack, I'll have that, thank you.
Yeah. That was the part that reminded me the most of the Peter Jackson ones because there was a whole bit in the Peter Jackson ones where I think they climb up a cliff face and all these maggots and caterpillar type creatures, they start peeling out of the walls the horrifying way in which they eat people because it's the same thing they do on a small scale that we don't know, but it's like how like their mouth hole opens up and this big like pinkish internal mouth shoots out like a xenomorph almost, but it's all gooey and latches onto people and sucks their heads in and then pushes them into the rest of the body, like horrific stuff. And this was as close as we got in this film to that stuff. And it was effective. I really liked it.
You can put a lot of work into a project and without stories and characters, you just go nowhere. There was a lot of effort put into, and I don't mean to, again, compare this to the Godzilla film we saw last week, but we in Godzilla, there was a big effort to get the military right. They had advisors. They even had the United States Army involved as extras in there, or the Navy, and they had consultants all the time. They got the language right. They got everything right, and the movie still sucked. Because there was no character, there was no heart to it. This one, you can tell they went into a lot of effort to consider how the animals work, how the whole island, how the ecology works together. Everything just makes sense, and you have all these nice little tie-ins. You can think about it, you can not think about it, and it doesn't detract from the story at all. And the story is fantastic, so you can enjoy everything on top of that.
Yeah,
just a general. Good time though, right?
It really is. And the music is fantastic. And it's just such a good film. I have such a good feeling watching this. And I was not expecting it. So thank you, Seb.
You're welcome. Yeah. Like I said, when I put this on the schedule, I actually didn't know it was good because I watched it after it was on the schedule. But yeah, I just really wanted to see Godzilla King of Monsters. To go in. But I was also caught off guard by this film. I didn't think it would be as fun as it was. So
that the bit right at the end with John C. Reilly like meaning his back up with his wife.
Wasn't that beautiful too?
That like surprisingly like got me. Like I choked up a little. Like not gonna lie. But then like this, I don't know if this should be in the bad or not, but the son that he's never met, like that was touching, but the son's like 28.
Yeah, he's been gone for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he didn't age because he was on the island.
Who?
No, he did age.
Not as much as he should have.
Over 30 years? No, he had grey in his beard and such.
How old is John C. Reilly? I thought that he was, well, thought he was a lot like younger than he was.
He was in the Navy. He would have been early 20s.
Yeah. Oh, true.
When he was a pilot.
Would only be like
mid-50s? Yeah. That's totally believable.
No, okay. I thought he hadn't aged. Okay.
The son didn't look as old as he should have been.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And like just still living with mum, like a 30-year-old. Like he doesn't have a family of his own because it's
He might have been there for dinner.
That was the least believable part about that interaction. I'm glad it happened, but like, yeah.
What a beautiful little scene. And it's just tacked on as an extra credit scene while the credits are rolling.
Yeah.
Lovely. Just lovely. Really pulls on those heartstrings.
Yeah.
I feel nothing for anyone. No, at least I was happy for
him. You monster. How could you say that? You're the villain.
Yeah, of course I'm the villain.
It was Also, I loved John C. Reilly's character. Like,
yeah,
going through the graveyard bit, and he's like, "I've only been here for 28 years. What do I know?" Like, just like really good. Like, yeah, just I don't know. Yeah, I liked it.
You're all welcome.
Shall we do verdicts?
I guess so. Unless anyone, nope. Okay. Yeah.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo! Right here, I'm the man.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Slap it on with the might of Zeus.
This movie was really fun, and I think that was the aim. I think the aim was, let's make a movie that's enjoyable. Is it deep? No. Will you learn anything from it? Probably not. I'm not saying there's nothing to learn from it, but I mean, like, that wasn't, they didn't go in with that message.
Yes.
Whereas other films will
hammer you with it and never make the point.
And that's why when I compare this film to a Marvel film, that's what I think. Because sometimes, yeah, there's a little bit of a message here or there, but the main part that they want you to go out is they want you to laugh a couple of times in the film, enjoy the action, and get to know the characters. Tick, tick, tick. That's what this film did. I'm not saying it's not the only way of making a film. There are much better ways of making films. But no one wants to go into King Kong for a moral story. If you do, watch Peter Jackson's.
You can take a moral story out of it, but you're not blanketed with it. You know, you're not forced to, you know, consume this message that they have. Take that on board. Make the story what you will.
Well, actually, I would say the one key thing is Jackson's goes into the part where Kong's brought back to the New York, where he's captured and chained up and stuff, and that's where you get a lot of that stuff.
Just thinking about this, like, so good that they didn't do that.
Yes, that was also my concern, because that's, for Peter Jackson's movie, it's really enjoyable for me, but remember, so it's too long. That too long thought really starts when you have like 45 minutes in New York and you're like, God damn it. But no, I really love this film. It's popcorn, and that's some tape. I like popcorn and I like movies. And what's better than movies? Two popcorns. So that's it.
You couldn't have said it any better.
I agree. That was perfectly phrased, and there's no holes in that statement.
Yeah.
No, the whole movie is expertly crafted. It's written in such a way that you can take a lot of deeper meaning from it if you want to investigate it. You can enjoy it at face value as well, and you don't lose any of its intensity at all. You can laugh at it. You get a little bit of the feels going as well, and nothing feels forced. Everything is very natural. It's a very cohesive story. It's so much fun to watch. I look forward to seeing this again, even just, you know, for my own entertainment. Not even showing it off to anybody. Just I look forward to experiencing some time with these characters again. It's fun, and listening to the soundtrack.
Look, I didn't think that I was going to enjoy this. There was at points when I was first watching it, I was kind of ugh. But I think I will watch it again. I think it deserves another take. So,
at regular speed?
I watched it at regular speed.
Oh, good.
This one I hadn't seen before.
Oh, I see.
Not that that stopped me in the past. But
not at all.
But no, I watched it. I liked it.
Yeah. Well,
give it a go.
Yep.
Absolutely.
My only concern is because this film was set in 1970. Obviously, when we get into like the after Kong's brought into the timeline with Godzilla, we've effectively lost like Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson.
But that movie's going to be
Lee Brassen.
Lee Brassen's awesome to say. Thank you. Yeah.
But Kong vs. Godzilla is going to be all about Kong vs. Godzilla.
Yeah. Hopefully. Which is absolutely fine. The characters that we fell in love with in this film are most likely not going to feature due to age issues, because they're going to be out 50 years different from where they are now almost.
John Goodman's already out. Samuel Jackson's already out.
So, two out of two, they've had a box office hit, but I've only enjoyed tonally one of these films.
Yeah.
And I suspect that Godzilla vs. Kong is going to be more like the tone of Godzilla.
Mm. Well, Godzilla King of Monsters trailer, the one that we're seeing in a couple of weeks, looks definitely more like Godzilla.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally a Godzilla movie, it's that same blue, like the color palette of the blues and the oranges as well. Like, it looks that feel.
Maybe they'll hit it out of the park again. Who knows?
You know what? Godzilla versus Kong, they might both share like their mother's birth might have the same name. You never know.
All jokes aside. I know.
Best friends, fist bump. Let's fly off together. Yes, destroy a black hole. Why not? Whatever.
I mean, I don't even know the plot, but I can almost guarantee there's going to be some third monster that's going to join forces against. And if it's not the three-headed dragon beast King Ghidorah, well, I have no idea who they'd have to team up against. Mecha Godzilla. Oh, fuck, I hope so. That's what, when they...
Darth Vader.
When they went so realistic with Godzilla, it kind of broke my heart because that means, where's Mecha Godzilla? You should have put yourself in some fucking future Neo-Tokyo bullshit place so we could have a Mecha Godzilla, like the government-made cyborg.
Yeah. Who knows if we won't have that? I mean, the early 2000s were all about, you know, going back into the past. Who knows if the 2020 era will be about films from the future.
That'd be nice.
Set in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder who they're going to fight, though.
Let us know who you think they're going to fight at Facebook/Second Take Podcast.
If you choose to do so, you can contact us on Instagram @Second Take Podcast. Or if you are tweeting us from the future, tell us all about those awesome films @Second Take TNC.
We have a website, secondtakepodcast.com. There's so many things on it. What things are there? Episodes, other episodes, and more episodes.
And
so many episodes. We've also got an email address, secondtakepodcast@gmail.com. I'm just sorry, reading the synopsis of Godzilla versus Kong, and it's pretty brief. The gigantic Kong meets the unstoppable Godzilla. The world watches to see which one becomes king of all monsters.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, yep. We're actually going to be watching Godzilla King of Monsters.
Yeah.
Earlier, so that's going to be fun.
No, I think you're spot on. There'll be some unknown monster being introduced there, and Godzilla and Kong have to team up.
Maybe it's going to be a tiger with antlers.
Oh, please no.
Just giant.
I, for one, hope it is a second Godzilla made of robot parts. That's all I want. I just want Mecha Godzilla.
Or an eagle with a shark's head.
All right.
Oh, that's
well, thank you, everybody.
Yeah, sorry, I've just got lost looking at pictures of Godzilla
shooting
gamma.
Press the button, release us, Sam.
Fine, good night, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.